Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And welcome to the river, listeners. We're so happy you've decided to join us this afternoon. I'm here. This is Maxine with my co-host, Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Maxine. Hello, listeners. We're glad you're here.
Yeah,
we depend on you.
We do depend on them. We have a really good program today, though, because this is a subject that you and I are both very fond of.
Oh, yes. Very intertwined with our lives.
Yes, we are going to be talking about grandparenting with Lillian Penner. And Jeannie and I both thoroughly enjoy our grandkids. You've just had a big weekend with yours, right?
I did, and let me tell them what my youngest granddaughter does. She is very attached to her mother. So if you point at her father and say, who's that, she'll go, dada. And if you point to her mother and say, who's that, she'll say, mine. I just love that.
Yeah. It's very cute. Well, let's not waste any more time before we start talking about Lillian today. And Lillian Penner is the author of Grandparenting with a Purpose, Effective Ways to Pray for Your Grandchildren. She's also the National Prayer Coordinator for Christian Grandparenting Network. She's a speaker and a blogger. She's been active in church ministry and currently resides in Portland, Oregon. Lillian and her husband, John, have 3 sons, 9 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. So she's a bit ahead of me on the grandchildren department with the great-grandkids, and Jeannie, too.
Enjoy
spending time with family, traveling, and listening to Southern gospel music. So welcome to the program, Lillian.
Thank you. My 2 greats are new. They're under a year, so that's a new experience for me. So I'm excited about that.
That is interesting. Is that as good as grandparenting?
Well,
once?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, you can just love them and send them home.
Sometimes not soon enough at our age, though.
So we like being grandmothers, Jeannie and I, but how did you develop a passion for wanting to pray for grandchildren?
Well, my oldest grandchild is 32. I can't believe that.
Wow.
And then I have my next grandchildren were twin boys that are 30. And I just was praying for them, help them to have a good day, bless them. And I just started feeling like something was wrong, that was sort of boring, that there had to be more to praying than that. And so I started doing some research and reading books about prayer and grandparenting, and through that, God just gave me a real passion about the urgency to pray specifically for them and to pray scripture. And so that has been really exciting. For years now, I've been praying scripture for them, and as the National Prayer Coordinator for Christian Grandparenting Network, I developed some prayer cards that have 31 scriptures to pray. And so I just go down those, and it's just, you know, when you pray God's word, you know that he's going to answer because you're praying according to his will.
Hey, would you give us an example, a specific prayer with the scripture so that people kind of know how you turn scripture into prayer?
Yes. Let's take the first one is accept advice. And so I pray, Dear Father, I pray that My grandchild will listen to constructive criticism and correction and through it gain understanding. And that scripture is found in Proverbs 15, 31, and 32. And then the next one is about anger. Dear Father, I pray that they will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1:19. And then I just go through a lot of different character qualities, contentment, compassion, confidence, future mate, guard. I pray that they will guard their hearts, for it is the wellspring of their life, according to Proverbs 4:23. And so these have been just really effective, and they are available on my website.
Why don't you name your website, Lillian?
My website is www.grandparentingwithapurpose. And if you a person subscribes to my blog on my website, I will send them these scriptures to pray, downloaded.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really a nice little benefit.
You know what? I wonder with your grandchildren and your own children. I found this with my children. I prayed specific things for each child.
Uh-huh.
And I found when they grew up, I kind of had neglected some of the other things, I think. With that. But I found that each child turned out just the way I prayed for them, which kind of startled
really?
Me.
Really? That's exciting.
I found that. I prayed for one to be able to have friendships because I wasn't sure because he was so shy. He married first, and I prayed for another one to be eloquent, and he just wrote a blog that was just amazing. I mean, it just goes on and on like that. It was all pretty much specifically what I prayed. So
that's
I love the scriptures.
Uh-huh. And I just think it's so important to pray for our grandchildren nowadays because they're growing up in a desperate moral and spiritual climate in which they must navigate in this hostile world.
Yeah.
That doesn't believe in truth. And Satan is just launching an aggressive attack on our families, schools, and our nation.
I'm glad you're bringing that up because I have a lot of grandparent friends who will talk to me about what's going on in their children's lives. And you are right. We're in a culture today that disregards so much of moral value.
Absolutely. Yes. And our children are getting desensitized to truth and righteousness, you know, by all the stuff that's going on in the world. And I feel like there's no other time in history where the call of prayer is more urgent than it is today.
Well, I think that actually the prayer is way more powerful than anything else you can do as a parent or grandparent. Do you agree with that? And if so,
oh, yes, I do. You know, some grandparents that I talk to feel like if I give them their birthday gifts and Christmas gifts and spend time with, you know, take them on a vacation or, you know, all these kind of things that I've taken care of my grandparenting duty. But I think that those are great things. But I think, first of all, we have to really be concerned about leaving a spiritual legacy.
Okay, why don't you give us some ideas of how we can do that? I know in your book you've got some verses that can be used, but you've also mentioned doing the legacy. Does the legacy work at all ages of our grandchildren?
I think so. You know, leaving a legacy, there's two ways that I feel are really important, and one is prayer. And, you know, you always... Very often you hear somebody say, well, you know, I'm where I'm at because of my grandmother's prayers. And but also the life that we live a life that's authentic, sincere in our Christian beliefs because they're watching us.
That was my husband's grandmother raised him, and she had people come to the building and do prayers, her friends. And she said, because of my grandmother's prayers, that's what he always gave her credit for, her prayers for him, that he was able to, you know, break free of some of the things that were going on in his childhood and growing up years.
You know, my grandmother was not very wealthy. She used to get up at 4 in the morning and take in everybody else's laundry to just kind of keep herself going. They didn't have Social Security or welfare back then, and I don't think she would have taken it anyway. But when the family would all gather, there were like, I don't know, 30 of us or something, for a holiday, for Christmas or something, even with everybody there, she would go to her bedroom and the door wouldn't close all the way. She would kneel at her bed and she would pray at the top of her voice for every single one of us, and she would pray for us by name. And I remember listening for
that.
What
a legacy.
Isn't that amazing? Listening for
yes.
my name, and you knew it wasn't something that she just did when we were there. You knew that it was a habit with her. That's just a treasure. It sounds like Charlie's Grandma Maxine, don't you think?
Yeah, I honestly think so, because the ladies mm-hmm. from the building would all come to their apartment and they'd all start their praying almost every night.
I love that.
Well, you know, I think it's important that we let our grandchildren know that we're praying for them. Like, mm-hmm. I'd like to take every opportunity. I send them a Valentine and tell them that we're praying for them. And sometimes I include a scripture verse. And at Easter now is just a wonderful time to send them an Easter card and write in there that you're praying for them and that they, maybe a scripture or just a little something spiritual, and maybe say something specific that you're praying for them. And this is so, I think, so important, because I have talked to a number of people that I ask, did your grandparents pray for you? And they say, well, I assume they did. They were Christians. And I said, well, did they ever tell you? And they say, many of them say, no, they never told me personally. But I think it's just on the telephone when you're talking to them or text them. I have some of my grandchildren, I text them once in a while and say, good morning, I prayed for you today. Where there's just so many ways that we can let them know, because that way they'll know, and that will always be a memory for them.
How old would they have to be before you start writing them a card saying that you're praying for them? What's about the youngest?
Well, I think you could tell them at a pretty young age, at 2 or 3, you know, as long as they know who you are or whatever it is. And and their mother probably reads the card to them anyway. And it's just such a blessing to be able to talk to your grandchildren about spiritual things. I have my younger grandchildren go to a Christian school, and they're learning a lot about Jesus. And when we have sleepovers here, we just have the most wonderful discussions, and they're 10 and 12 years old now. But it is so neat to see how they do grow. And let them hear you pray. Like you said, it was such a blessing to hear your grandmother praying for everybody. And so at mealtime, when they come over for meals or spend the night, we always like to have them hear us pray for them specifically.
Yeah, I like that idea of getting the Easter cards in the mail to them.
I do too.
Kids, I should go pick up some Easter cards rather than just say Happy Easter. You know what I'm saying? A card. All kids like mail. They don't ever.
They
get
like
mail.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. It's an excellent way. And you know, if you're long distance grandparents, you know, that's what's so wonderful. I'm a long distance grandparent, and I have some locally, but. You know, you can always pray for them, no matter. And even when, you know, as we get older and are more limited physically, some people can't, you know, get out as much. And even if they're in a retirement home, they can pray for their grandchildren. It's such a ministry to affect the next generation. I was reading in Jennifer Kennedy's book about how it's a spiritual investment. It's a spiritual trust fund that we can pray.
And those prayers fly right through the ceiling, don't they? Right through the roof.
Right, and pray for our future generations. I found something that was such a blessing to me. My husband and I have been interested in family history, and I found a letter that my great-grandfather in Poland had written to my grandfather after he had immigrated to Kansas and had married and had a family, and And my great-grandfather wrote that he was praying for my grandfather and his children and his future grandchildren.
Oh.
And I just thought, that was
wow.
me. And now to
what
think
a
that
there.
My
wow.
children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what a legacy that is, you know, to leave, that we people have been praying for generations for him. But,
you know,
I don't want anybody to be discouraged if they don't have that legacy, because if you're a believer, you don't have a Christian background, but you're a believer now, what a privilege you have to start a Christian
wow.
legacy.
And, you know, I once heard Dobson say that his grandfather prayed for his grandchildren to the fourth generation, and he was, I think, that generation. So he was, like, desperately praying. Thinking about the Exodus 20 and the Deuteronomy 5 scripture, the Ten Commandments
mm-hmm.
that say, you know, to 1,000 generations, what I do is I pray for my grandchildren in perpetuity, not ever stopping. Because I've seen my own family, I've seen grandkids and great-grandkids that have fallen away from the Lord, even with my grandmother praying that way. So that's what I pray for, forever, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thousand
yes.
generations of my family.
I love that
I want
verse.
It for you.
It's one of the best verses in the whole Bible, and it's what
oh.
a blessing to know that your prayers today are going to touch people you'll never ever meet this side
oh,
of heaven.
Oh, right. That mm-hmm. is exciting.
And the people that you would love if you were going to live forever, right
yeah.
here. Mm. Yeah.
But you hope you
exciting.
Don't live forever here.
Well, no, I just literally won't. But
no, I know you.
Yes.
Lillian, in your grandparenting with a purpose, I want to cover a couple more topics before our time runs out. And one of them is I'm real interested in the way you break down the different stages of life for our grandchildren and how you have specific
oh, yes.
prayers for each stage. And then talk about that for a few minutes, and then I'd like to move more into the Easter holiday that's coming up.
Okay. Yeah, I have some suggestions in the book about praying for your infant grandchildren, preschool, elementary, and young adults, teenagers, and married grandchildren. And just some suggestions, because, I mean, we all have our own, have some ideas about how to pray for them, but sometimes we just sort of, I get into a rut and pray the same thing, and I think these have really helped me to pray the different aspects. Like for teenagers, one of them that I really like, especially for the girls, is have a balanced view of their beauty, charm, and strength.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And to be motivated and disciplined and challenged to apply themselves to excel in school, to do their very best. And then going to the infants, I have develop a strong sense of security as they bond with their family.
Mm. Be like Jeannie's little
yeah,
one.
Mine.
Yes,
I
right.
Mine says
yes.
it all. That one says it all.
Yes,
that was
mine.
So cute.
But sometimes the infants, it's hard to know what to pray. You don't, you think they're so
it
little
is.
And they're just crying or they're wanting to be fed. And I really like
uh-huh.
the way you're tapping into that when they're at this tiniest stage, because it's so important to develop healthy attachments.
I do too.
So what about the toddlers? What about toddlers?
I have a couple I have here is develop a healthy self-image and a sense of independence and a sense of being obedient to their parents.
That's
and
so important.
Yeah, that is.
Because that means they learn to obey God if they learn to obey their parents.
Yes. And that's something that really is, very important.
Yeah.
And one that was an issue for one of my kids when she was little was the feeling secure apart from parents. She was never left with friends or others very often.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did, oh, my gosh, my husband and I went to a wedding at one point, and she cried the entire time we were gone, even though she was with people that we often visited with.
Uh-huh.
That prayer would have come very handy. Yeah.
Yes.
The insecurity. So what about preschool?
Preschool, develop a well-balanced personality and learn problem resolution skills and learning to play well with others.
I noticed that all of the things that you're praying are character traits and not gifts. Is that correct? Or you pray for giftings too?
Yes. As they get older,
okay.
I do have in the, looking over this quickly here, on the teenagers, I think that I have it. I know I do for the young adults, think creatively and live with integrity. And we need to pray that they will recognize their gifts so they can find their God-given assignment. Because God has an assignment for each one of them, that they have to recognize that.
Yeah. And I'd probably start praying that one in their high school years even, because so many of them don't know what they want to do with the college decision.
Right. Another one that I think is really important in teenagers is to recognize the deception of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally true.
That's,
yeah. This is a wonderful list. I mean, you have got page after page of these ideas, and wow, I would really suggest that our listeners pick up a copy of Grandparenting with a Purpose and tap into this, and then you've got another spot where you are scriptures with the alphabet letters, and you make this easy.
Yeah.
You touched on it a little bit, but you've used the name Haley, but you have every alphabet letter with a scripture beside it if people don't want to create their own, and these would be wonderful gifts to frame. Have these done up with beautiful calligraphy.
That's a good idea.
And
it'd be great
to
put in a birthday card.
I guess they're called an acrostic in some way here. But this would be lovely. This would be lovely. Let's move on into our Easter celebration, though, before we run out of time enough to talk about it. What do you think grandparents can do with Easter holiday coming up?
Well, one suggestion that I have for a care package, if they're long distance, would be to send this ahead of time with some Easter egg coloring kit and an Easter craft, maybe a little Easter paper plates and napkin and cups for a family dinner for them that would be fun for them to do. And, you know, you can get little storybooks of the true meaning of Easter that you can send. And there's also resurrection eggs at Christian bookstores that tell the story of Easter. And you can, as we talked earlier about sending an Easter card, but there's also electronic Easter cards that are fun, too. And you see, my granddaughters really enjoyed was the resurrection rolls. And in the on my website this week, I put some Easter ideas and in my blog, and it has, and then I do have the recipe for the resurrection rolls. Have you heard of the resurrection rolls?
I'm there now. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Crescent rolls, margarine or butter, large marshmallow, cinnamon, and sugar. They would love that.
And then you tell the story about that Jesus is in the tomb, and you cover up the roll and put it in the oven, and when it comes out, it's gone.
I love that. How wonderful is that?
So that's a fun thing to do with grandkids.
That is really fun.
There's a lot of Easter crafts that are real simple to do of fun. Pinterest.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Pinterest. I didn't go there yet, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ideas there.
Yeah, your blog is at your site. Yeah.
And I do have Grandparenting with a Purpose is my Pinterest page.
I see it. I've got it right now. Oh, I like the resurrection eggs, too.
Yeah, and even the little toilet paper roll bunny. That's a fun one. They all like gluing and little art.
Yeah.
And your stamped potato. You made your potato look like a Easter egg stamp.
Uh-huh. So Easter is a great time with crafts and things to do with grandchildren and to tell the Easter story and to make sure that you know, from little on, they know the real Easter story and that it's not just Easter eggs and bunnies.
You do have a lot of bunnies here on your Pinterest, however, Lillian, which I think are darling.
But, you know,
not all there is, but there's a lot of them.
On my blog last week, I had a, it was called the Traditions of Easter. And it was so interesting to me that I wanted to share it on my website because it tells the story about how the eggs got started, and it has a secular and a spiritual aspect of it, and the different things of Easter. And so that was just sort of, I thought, interesting and fun. So you might check that out, too.
Can you tell it in a couple of sentences for our listeners?
No, I'd have to go back to it.
Then don't.
Yeah,
I think that there's meaning behind all of these traditions that people have picked up. I mean, the bunnies, there's meaning with them even, and then the eggs and the whole thing around the new life and the resurrection life and how, you know, bunnies are prolific and eggs represent new life.
On my blog, on Grandparenting with a Purpose, the website, each week I share some ideas of what to do, how to pray, how to just anything that would help people in their grandparenting so that they can grandparent with a purpose. Because I think, you know, God has, just as Esther, God gave, had Esther to stand in the gap for the Israelites when their lives were threatened physically, God has given grandparents the privilege to stand in the gap for the spiritual life for our grandchildren because it is at stake.
That's a good correlation. I like that. Lillian, you told me about another event that will be coming up later this year. You talked about a Grandparents' Day of Prayer. What is that all about, and how can people get excited about being ready for it?
The Sunday after Labor Day is the National Grandparents' Day. It's been a national holiday since 1978, and it's just, you know, you see a lot about it, but I felt a few years ago that that would be a nice time to make that a Grandparents' Day of Prayer, that I know grandparents pray throughout the year, but that would just really be a special day of prayer, just like we have the National Day of Prayer coming up in May. And so we're going to be starting the promotion of that. I'll be writing about it on my website a lot. And I also have Facebook, if people are on Facebook, Grandparenting with a Purpose is the name of the page. And I'll have information about that on there. But it would just be, can you just imagine what would happen with thousands of grandparents throughout the world praying for their grandchildren's intentionally and deliberately on that day.
That one day. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
And for their children. You don't leave them out, do you?
Yes. You know, I think it's very important, and I want to stress this, we need to pray for their parents.
Yes. Yes.
I agree, because they've got an awful lot going on in their lives, and everything going on in their lives dribbles down into their children's lives. So
I'm glad I'm not raising it. I'm not the parent nowadays.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot different than it was when I raised my boys.
There's a lot more chaos in the world, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Jeannie, have you got one more question to ask Lillian, because we got only about a minute and a half left?
Well, I'd just like to say I see a lot of speaking engagements on your on your blog, on your website. Do you have openings if people call you and want you to come and speak?
Oh, yes.
And they just go there? Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so tell them where to go to get you.
Okay, just go to my website, Grandparenting with a Purpose, and there's a place that they can, my address is there, email address, info@grandparentingwithapurpose. And I'm sure they'll find that on there. And they're probably, I think there also is a contact me where they can fill something out on the website.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Lillian, you have
been
a pleasure to talk with.
It's just been such an honor to be with you ladies today.
We have so enjoyed it, Lillian. Thank you.
Have you got just a couple more words you'd like to leave our listeners with before we have to sign off?
Well, just don't take things for granted. Just pray and pray and pray for your grandchildren and your future generations, because we don't know the future, but God does. And we can invest in our children, grandchildren, and future generations, and God will bless them.
Thank
you, Lillian. You have been a great delight today. God bless you. And listeners, the archives will be posted very soon.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.